This morning again, we open the Word of God in the Gospel according to Mark, the last chapter. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 14 is our scripture passage. Our focal point will be on the verses 5 through 7. Mark 16, verse 1 through 14 is our scripture passage, and our text we find in the verses 5 through 7. Page 1014 in our Pew Bible, 1014. Mark 16, this is the Word of God. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. That's our scripture passage and text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Easter, brothers and sisters, is the celebration of Christ's exaltation. After his suffering, he receives glory. In heaven, his resurrection is greeted with jubilation. Angels sing his praises. Jerusalem, however, keep silent. The risen Lord does not find a people who expect him with joyful anticipation. While in heaven his throne is being set up in eager expectation and preparation for his ascension, on earth his people are still busy with his grave. Women hasten themselves in the early morning to the Garden of Arimathea, where they know to be the tomb in which the dead body of their beloved rabbi was laid. With them is only sorrow and confusion. They still weren't over it, over that shocking end to their master's life. All hope was extinguished in their hearts. Then the risen Lord reveals himself also after his resurrection as the shepherd, beloved, who gave his life for the sheep. He shows himself the good shepherd when he sends out his angels as true evangelists with a special message and instructions for the sheep. All the accounts of the gospel show us the good shepherd, who either personally or by his messengers seeks his sheep. Some of them he also calls by name, Mary, or go tell the disciples and Peter. He gathers his sheep so that they would be together at the end of the day to sing and glorify him. That was only due to the risen Lord, though. He knows his sheep. He looks after them. He makes them sing with Peter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Brothers and sisters, it is heart-moving and gratifying to see how much effort the Christ has put into it to make it come that far. The disciples received many signs: the empty grave, the abandoned linen cloths, and the testifying angels. It's not the signs, however, which moved them to believe Christ's resurrection. It's the message that convinces them. He is risen. He is not here. Go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. In that message, they recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, whose words they remembered because he had told them. That we may also believe the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us listen to his words in our text, which I summarize as follows: the angel's message to the women concerning Christ's resurrection. We see the circumstances for this message, the contents of this message, and the confirmation in this message. So I summarize the message of our text as follows: the angel's message to the women concerning Christ's resurrection. We see the circumstances for this message, the contents of this message, and the confirmation in this message. So first of all, the circumstances for this message. The story behind this moment at the tomb of the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, is well known. Some women who loved the Lord Jesus dearly had bought spices and ointments to do on this Sunday morning with his corpse what they could not do on Friday before the Sabbath anymore. In the early dawn, they go on their way to the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. They are going there with sadness, with sorrow in their hearts. This sorrow, however, was their sin. They had not paid sufficient attention to the word of the Lord Jesus. They had been too much in a hurry doing their own thing. In their impulsive love, their own imaginations had clouded over, yes, had repressed the clear words of their Savior. Now they have to walk the long and lonely road in bitterness only to learn how important it is to listen to the words of Christ closely and carefully. Their love drives them. When they come closer to the tomb, they become concerned about a certain problem. Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? They probably did not know that this stone was sealed and that there were soldiers guarding the tomb. However, when they come closer and look up, they're greatly surprised to see the stone rolled away already. Then they come from one surprise to the next. When they enter the vestibule of the tomb, they don't see in the grave the dead body of the Lord Jesus, but they find someone in the appearance of a young man sitting on the right side of the tomb, dressed in a long white robe. No wonder, beloved, Mark reports that they are alarmed. Whatever they had expected, not this. From the description in Mark's account, it seems as if the angel, for that's who the young man is, doesn't show any hurry in addressing them. He allows them to look around, yes, to seek the Lord Jesus. The angel does not stand up to approach the women, but remains seated. The women need to learn a lesson. It is a lesson which God's children need to learn so often in circumstances such as these. We know that too, quite often, that we are forced by bitterness and suffering to pay somewhat better attention to God's promises. For that reason, God doesn't help us out of trouble immediately either. It seems as if this inclination is common to us all. How easily we let go of God's word when we really need it. Let's receive this as our first impression, beloved. When we see the circumstances in which the angel conveys the message of the Lord, reminding his children of the word of the Lord. Our text shows us, first of all, what the church will become when they let go of the Christ, when they do not live from the fullness of the Word of God. Look at those women who are standing there, alarmed, dumbfounded, and stunned. That's the church of those days. The church sure has no reason for boasting in herself. If the future would depend on the people, it would be a lost cause. Did they not have the word? The word as Christ proclaimed it at several occasions, namely that he would rise after 3 days. Indeed, just like at that time with the shepherds in the fields of Ephrathah, who had said, after having heard the word, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So the disciples should have reminded each other and encouraged, let's go to the tomb to see the victory of Jesus Christ. But no. Though they are going to the garden, they don't go there to sing at the sight of the signs of victory over all the powers of the grave. They are going to mourn. They are together in sadness with the signs of defeat. They're not seeking the Lord of glory, but they had gone to the tomb to seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. What a deflated faith this is, brothers and sisters. A faith that does not rest in the word, but rather a faith that looks at the circumstances. Such a faith can never be firm. Such a faith never gives true joy. Oh, sure, as long as everything is going all right, such a faith will still manage. But as soon as difficulties arise, as soon as storms come up, or when the facts are hard and bitter, such a faith succumbs. It becomes deflated like a pierced balloon. Or not. Don't you know that you can only live by the word of God? It's the forgetting of this word there in the morning of the resurrection that makes these women, this church of the Lord, wander in confusion and alarm. What if the Christ had not been the faithful Lord? What if he had not preserved the church? What if he had not guided his people like a faithful shepherd? They would have succumbed. But what did the risen Lord do, however, beloved? When he left the tomb, he left a servant behind, a messenger, in order to help his church when they would come to the grave. He puts an angel on his post to lead his people back to the certainty of faith, to the firmness and confidence. And the angel is sitting there in all calmness, ready to break through the confusion. It all looks so simple, and in a way it is. Yet we know that only a short while ago, that same angel had appeared like a flash of lightning. Then he had frightened the soldiers away so that they had fled. Now there is not the slightest show of heavenly glory. Now he is sitting there only to pass on the message about the risen Lord. To his disciples, the Christ has to appear in full glory, not his servant. His servant is called at this moment only to serve, to minister for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. That's how the love and faithfulness of their Lord is seen at this moment, beloved. Thus we see in these circumstances the Good Shepherd who addresses his sheep by the mouth of this messenger. They may hear the gospel of the resurrection. People who don't know what to do with their life outside of Jesus Christ. They hear the gospel of the risen Lord as we may hear it every week on the way to the day of the resurrection. However, with us, Christ has come a lot farther. He has progressed from that morning on which he rose via Pentecost to today. We know the message of the resurrection so well. Even our children know the details. The question, however, is, do we find rest and peace in the message of the resurrection? Knowing that his word is sure always. And also knowing that without that word, his church will come to naught. It's his infinite grace that he preserves us in his word, sending out messengers to proclaim it. For only by faith in the word of the living Lord do we prevail under all circumstances. We come to the second point, the contents of this message. Don't be alarmed, the angel said, brothers and sisters. Don't be so dumbfounded that he is not here, but that I am here. Perhaps you know that there has been a theory about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus which seeks to explain the fact of the early belief in the resurrection. In our time, this theory is being reiterated, saying, you see, they had worked themselves into such a frenzy of expectation that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead, that the wish became the father of the thought. So they said, he did. Arose because they expected that he would. Obviously, this theory is so false, for there is an overwhelming number of evidences that they did not expect that he would rise. It was the very last thing they would expect. Oh, sure, as I've said already, They should have expected it. But that's why the first words in the angel's message are a word of admonition. Don't be alarmed. This word conveys the tone of reproach, of God's love, which is disappointed by their unbelief. If only they had believed, for then you would have understood there would be no reason for alarm. Death could not keep him captive, could it? You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, but what are you seeking, the living one among the dead? Do you want to prolong his death? He is not here. He has risen. That's the gospel of Easter, beloved. He is not here. He was here, but now he is not here. Risen. That's one word in the original. A sentence of one word which announces the mightiest miracle and profoundest mystery ever shown on earth. He has risen. His death was voluntary. He was not passive in it, but he did because he chose. Also, the resurrection was his act. He rose because he willed. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. You don't have a dead Savior, but a living one. What a tremendous proclamation that was. The grave is still there, but gone is the spoil. The prey of death escaped its power. The prisoner of that powerful enemy has come away. The grave has lost its battle against the Christ, that is against him. Sin and death, the devil and hell have lost the battle. And they will never ever be able to recover their loss. He has risen. He is not here. He has brought life to victory. He has restored the communion with God. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The angel underlines his words with a friendly invitation to come and see as well that his words are true. He does everything he can to convince these women of the truth of his words. They are urgently persuaded to see the grave, to look at the place where they laid him on Friday night when they had been looking on. That way, they would say, indeed, he is not there. He did break the bonds of death. He has risen. They are to see not only that the place is empty, but also at the same time that all the linen wrappings are in place. They're undisturbed, yet the body has gone out of them in a miraculous manner, leaving an empty shell of linen wrappings while the headcloth is laid by itself, just as Peter and John saw the same a little later. That empty grave, beloved, is to them the sign and certainty of the resurrection of the Christ. These women have been called to look into that grave, but in these women, the Church of Jesus Christ is standing there, and he wants to establish his church on a strong and immovable foundation. But what the women see is only an empty grave to underline the message of his resurrection. And without seeing, they have to believe this message. They have to repeat this message, the word of his resurrection. For it is by the word that the Christ wants to work faith in the risen Lord. It is by the word that the Christ had wanted them to expect the resurrection. He had said it repeatedly. He had said it very clearly, Mark 14, verse 27, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you to Galilee. And now, in order to establish that faith is by hearing, not seeing, hearing the word of the Lord, an angel confirms his message by sending these women down with this reminder of the word. Go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. Thus, to confirm the message of the resurrection, our third point, the confirmation in this message. Brothers and sisters, before we look at the confirmation in the message more clearly, more closely, it should receive our attention that the angel says this to these women. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. It is striking how busy the women are on the day of Christ's resurrection. They are involved first and foremost to relate the great deeds of God in Jesus Christ. On this day of the resurrection, it's not the men who go to the women, it's the other way around. The first heralds of Christ's resurrection were women. It should not surprise us, therefore, that this fact has drawn the attention of the feminists, who in their theology of feminism see here one of the turning points in the history of the position of the women. Now, indeed, this moment does show us that the Lord Jesus has also redeemed the life of the women. Women never played any role in the synagogue. And according to the rabbis, they could not serve as witnesses either. In that respect, the risen Lord indeed entrusts to them a task that shows his honor also to the women, involving them as true witnesses to extend the message to his disciples. In this sense, it may be observed with the Apostle Paul that there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying, we see on the day of the resurrection, there is no discrimination. They all may share in salvation. The woman is not inferior to man. Yet, we must not make more of this either, like the feminist theology does, concluding that the women are here charged to proclaim the gospel of the resurrection. For that is not so. Rather, they are honored as women in that they may serve to remind the men of the word which the Lord had spoken. A word the disciples are charged to proclaim at the appointed moment when this word is fulfilled, as we will see this afternoon. It is the honor and duty of the women in the church, indeed, to enable their men to carry out the callings of their office. Last week we gave thanks for that specifically in their sacrifice of love. For the women are called not to bring a new message to the disciples, but to remind them of an appointment, a command, which the Lord Jesus had given already. And by this reminder, the disciples will know that this is a message of their shepherd indeed, who can be known by his voice, by his word. Yes, this reminder will be the confirmation as well that the message of the angel about Christ's resurrection is true. For the word to which it refers shows it to be true. Brothers and sisters, when this message reminds them of the words of the Lord Jesus spoken in Mark 14, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you to Galilee. Then it should strike us that the Lord Jesus himself there quoted the scriptures. He referred his disciples that time to Zechariah 13, in which the prophet foretells that it is for the redemption of the sheep that the shepherd must be struck down and his sheep scattered, in order that afterwards the refined sheep will follow the shepherd again. In Zechariah 13, the shepherd is portrayed as the lamb, which had to be slain in order that as the lamb he may cleanse his flock and afterwards lead the flock out of distress. I cannot here and now elaborate too much on this chapter in the prophecy of Zechariah, but one thing should be noted. The disciples are reminded of the Christ's words in which he taught them the fulfillment of the scriptures. In the fulfillment of these scriptures, he is the risen Lord, the shepherd who would go before them to Galilee. Then also, as a reminder of that same occasion, beloved, the angel includes in the message given along to the disciples these peculiar words. This unique addition, go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going before you to Galilee. At that same occasion at which Christ had quoted Zechariah 13, Peter had such a big mouth. Peter had sworn an oath that he would not forsake his Lord. And then the Lord had said, Peter, especially you will forsake me. You will deny me thrice. Therefore, this reminder with special reverence to Peter must have struck Peter very hard. It must be true. This must be the Master. This message alone confirms that the report of his resurrection is true. At the same time, beloved, what a shepherd he is. So to call each sheep by name, so to convince each sheep in his own way. What a shepherd he is who seeks his sheep that are scattered and so goes before them with his word, which reminds of his word. He gathers his flock and also Peter. Then when they finally have come in Galilee, then the shepherd restores Peter in his position of under-shepherd. Then Peter is charged, like his master, to tend the sheep, to lead the flock. Then Peter and all the apostles are sent from Galilee into the world, as we will be seeing this afternoon. For Galilee is the land of the people who walked in darkness, but who got to see a great light. Isaiah 9, verse 2. In Galilee he spoke the words, all authority and power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. From Galilee, the gospel will go out into the world, the gospel of grace, the gospel of new life. And by that gospel only, man can be born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For the risen Lord gave himself back to his disciples as the Christ of the scriptures. He is the Christ who died, beloved. Yes, what is more, who was raised from the dead, who had to be raised, he says to the men on the way of Emmaus, because Moses and all the prophets said so. In order that we should know and believe this, he continued from Easter to his throne, that from there he would pour out his spirit on Pentecost, so that we would hear the gospel of the resurrection and believe. Believe with the amazement of the women and the disciples and Peter, that not only to others, but also to me, God has granted forgiveness, everlasting righteousness and salvation. out of mere grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Amen. Let us respond by turning to number 362 and sing the first three stanzas and the last two, 1, 2, and 3, 8, and 9 of number 362 is our song of response.